Let's pray. Father, now I ask for your anointing, not just upon me, but upon your word and upon all of us today as we listen, that we might know not just ourselves, but you. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I hope some of you heard last week that our rector, Father Jeremy, has created a sermon series. He began that last week, and he's entitled it, The Joy of Unexpected Things. Then he sent out a list, and he invited, very kindly invited, some of us retired clergy to join in if we'd like to. Well, the second title on the list was The Joy of Aging. I said, okay, I got it. You know, since I'm the oldest one here, I'll take the hint. So I have The Joy of Aging. Now, the thing is, he's a young guy, and I first had to ask the question, is there joy in aging? I mean, come on. What is the idea about getting older? Creaking joints? Losing hair? Hair growing where you don't want it to grow? You can't hear. You can't see. You can't bend over and put on your socks. You can't sleep. And you can't stay awake. Now, some of you know what I'm talking about, and the rest of you go, okay, well, it's coming, okay. So what is the joy of aging? Well, now, wait a minute. What I just described is the joy of getting old, is getting older, not aging. Is the idea of getting older. You see, aging crosses every generation. And we're all getting older, aren't we? Are we all getting older? Getting older is a passive state. I hate to tell you this, but from the day you were born, every day you've been getting older, right? Time catches up. But aging is a different story. The joy of aging, the unexpected joy of that, is something that we find, most importantly, by faith. Not just by wisdom, not just by getting older, but by faith. The question is, are you aging well or just getting older? Well, first of all, to understand this, we have to recognize that there's a difference between the biblical worldview and a cultural worldview. Now, as Christians, that's important for us. We see our lives through the wisdom of Scripture. We see our lives through understanding God's created order, not just by the cultural fads and whims of the day. So we need to understand that there's always an opposition between cultural worldview and the biblical worldview. Just one illustration. There's a cultural worldview today with the body. It's important. You hear it every day and everywhere. Today, if what you think you are or what you think about your body disagrees with your body, then you change your body. Whereas the biblical worldview says, if your mind disagrees with your body, change your mind. Now, let me say that again, because this is important. If who or what you think you are disagrees with your body, change your body. Biblical worldview says, if who or what you are, your mind disagrees with your body, change your mind. Now, where's the scripture for that? Paul said it in Romans, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You see, everything today is about, well, you don't like this, change who you are, change your body. That's everything from, I'll meddle a little bit, everything from your hair color to your weight to your gender. It's all that's important, folks. Scripture tells us, don't just change your body, you change your mind. You change what God has created in you. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Well, now, is there a biblical worldview on aging? On aging well? Well, there is. People like me, be thankful for the fact that the Bible acknowledges and honors aging, honors elder people. Proverbs 16:31, gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gain in a righteous life. Thank God I've still got something to be gray, right? Job 12:12, Wisdom is with the aged, and understanding in length of days. Now, all that's true, but we don't live in an elder-honoring society, do we? We don't. Now, some of us recognize that, and we become more enlightened. But the thing is, today it's all about youth. Youth. How young are you? So is there a biblical wisdom for all ages? Well, we have to be careful of what I call the trap of tomorrow. We have to be careful of the trap of tomorrow. A life would be better tomorrow. If I can just finish this, then I can enjoy life. Now, what does that mean? Well, every teenager wants to get a license and turn 16, right? It'll be better after I turn 16 and I can drive. Or if I can just finish school or college, then my life will be good. Or if I can just get a good job, a good career, then life will be just what I wanted. Or have a good family, or have children, or one day get the children to leave home. I'll wait for that one. After the tomorrow trap comes, then comes the yesterday trap. The yesterday trap is this: we're older and life used to be better. Will someone please tell me when I'm in the good old days? I mean, isn't that the thing? So from the tomorrow trap, it's going to be better tomorrow. It's going to be better. If I can just get this done, it's going to be better. Or when you're older, it says, well, if it's tomorrow, if yesterday, it was always better then. How do we change our mind, our soul, our being? By the words of Scripture and by faith. An illustration of worshiping tomorrow is what I call the elusive retirement. The elusive retirement. Now, first of all, let me tell you this. Retirement is not just about people who turn 65 or 70. Retirement is when you retire from a portion of your life. Retirement is when you retire from a portion of your life. You retire from proving yourself. You see, in Scripture, there's no such thing as retirement. No such thing. A work is an order of creation. Work was created by God, designed by God, before the fall, rather than as a response to the fall. God is the first worker. He was the first worker. In the beginning, God created. Chapter 2 in Genesis, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day for all his work that he had done. So now you see, here is God creating the order of work and rest. And that is, in fact, what he gives us, made us in that, that we might know that we need to have a purpose, that we have a reason to do something. God is the first worker and establishes the rhythm of labor and rest. Humanity is created in his image as the first stewards of that creation. The problem came is that the fall confused our understanding of work. It confused it. Before the fall, work was a joy. It was a command. Following the fall, it becomes a competition. Work becomes a competition. Genesis 3:17, God speaking to Adam said, "Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field, and by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread." By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread. You see, that tells us that now, following the fall, mankind, humanity, we are in competition with creation. Well, the faithful point is, and the good point is that competition ends in Jesus. It ends with Jesus. You struggle with proving yourself as a student, as a parent, as an employee, as an successful business owner, even as a successful Christian. That ends in Jesus. Because too many of us spend our lives trying to prove ourselves. If I can just be this, if I can just be that. Even as I said, if I can just be what people see me as a successful Christian. That ends in Jesus. Remember, in Jesus, by grace you have been saved through faith. Thanks be to God. The competition ends, and we are restored from the fall and are set back into alignment, into great relationship, intimate relationship with God the Father. So then work, what we do in life, can become, in fact, joyful. Can become joyful. So now, the joy of aging well. Well, God has created an order in creation. Have you recognized it? The order of creation that God created of now aging well is the fact that you're getting older. And as you grow older, things change, don't they? They change. The body makes you do it. And what order of creation comes is the understanding of submission. Now, I understand that for many people, that's a dirty word. Submission. Why would we submit to something? We're supposed to have victory. We're supposed to overcome. But you see, in submitting to your faith, in submitting to Jesus Christ, comes victory. That order of creation that God made to bring us to submission is this. The body makes you do it. The spirit welcomes it. Faith demands it. But the question is this. Will you do it sooner or will you do it later? That's the key to aging well, to aging successfully, to aging in joy and in faith. Do you submit? Do you understand that submitting is victory? Do that sooner. As a teenager, as a midlife crisis person or whatever, do you do it sooner or do you do it later? One of the signs of aging well, submission, is best illustrated in Ephesians chapter 5 and 6. That's Paul giving three illustrations of submitting. Now, you know one of those really well, and some of you sort of groan a little bit and whatever, and that's the idea that begins in chapter 5, wives submit to your husbands. Then it says, husbands love your wives. Now, our culture has railed against that. Understand that wives submit to your husbands and husbands love your wives is the same statement. Both require submission. Both require giving up, giving in, submitting. They both require that. That's what they are. And in fact, I always try to point out that when it says, husbands, love your wives, remember that as Jesus loved the church, remember Jesus died for the church. That's his definition of love. And so that's the understanding of submission. But that's in marriage, but it doesn't stop there. He goes on and he says, now, parents, children, honor your parents. Parents, and I love this phrase in the old NIV, it says this, parents, do not exasperate your children. Isn't that a good word? I mean, sure, I'm tired of being exasperated with you, Mom. Do not exasperate. Parents honor you, but both of those require submission. Do parents have to submit? Absolutely. We submit to our children often, not give in, but submit. One of the most powerful things that I would do with my two daughters was to go to them and ask for their forgiveness. Now, folks, that gets their attention. And children, honor your parents. Again, it goes on there. The third illustration is about bond servants and employers. Let's just say employees, employers. Okay. But what happens in that is that as you submit, an employee submitting to a bad employer, you don't do it because they're wonderful. You do it so that people might see Jesus in you. Now, I'll come back to the wives and the husbands part. I always like to say this because I think it's important. My wife, Kay, does not submit to me because I'm wonderful. I wait for her. She's smirking about it a little bit. So she would submit to me because of Jesus. That's why. And that's the same reason that a husband would submit to his wife, the same reason that a child would submit to their parents, and the parents to the children, and an employee, especially an employee, to a bad employer, so that through you they might see Jesus. That's the point of submission. That's why submission is a wonderful illustration of growing old. It's a sign, a marker that, listen, I'm getting a bit wiser because I'm 20 and I'm recognizing what it means to submit. Or I'm 50 and I'm recognizing what it means to submit. Or I'm 70 and recognize. That's aging well. That's what it means, folks. That's how we age in faith. So another great mark of aging well is recognizing that you need hope and you need help. You need help. I recognize you need help. You need a mentor for a job. You need a coach for a sport or a skill. You need wisdom in recognizing that you need help. Jesus in John's gospel, in speaking about the challenges of following him, said this, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. That's the help, folks. That's how we age well. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we invite the Spirit, come. Come and show me. Come and reveal to me the truth. Show me the words of life, as Jesus said. Aging well, folks, is not for the old. It's for the faithful. The helper, the Holy Comforter, will come and will be your helper, because we're all growing older, but I pray that in faith we also would be ones who age well. Age well to honor Jesus Christ. So in that, the struggle of life is over. Now, brothers and sisters, no matter how old your age is, rest in Jesus. Amen.